Good morning. Today's Daf Yevamos Yudches. We're on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We're starting with the words Amar Ruhun Amar Rav. We are going to be starting a new sugya today in Yevamos. It's not a new sugya. The issues that we've been touching on already a number of times, but we're going to be discussing it head on. We're not going to be discussing it in some sort of circuitous fashion, but rather this is a topic that the Gemara is going to be treating directly. Yesterday we began the second parak of the Masechta, and we gave an illustration example of Eshet Achiv Shalal Yabalamo. Meaning, let's tie this Masechta together for just a moment. In the first parak, we learned about the arayos, which are going to impede the mitzvah of Yibum. In the event that your brother dies, you have a mitzvah of Yibum with his widow. That's the entire platform of the Masechta. But in the event, however, that in addition to being Eshet Achiv, which in of itself is an erva, but of course the mitzvah of Yibum overrides and supersedes that erva, but if it's any other erva that's introduced together with it, so then it's going to impede the mitzvah of Yibum. You are not allowed to marry the erva. In addition to that, the kawaii, the tsaris erva, is also going to be also as well. And those are the mishnayos that we've been discussing in the first parak. After that point in time, the first Mishnah, highlighted what other arayas can we be talking about? What are the other arayas that would it be able to impede and stand in the way of the mitzvah of Yibam? So there are 15 in total that are going to stand in the way. Of the 15, number 14 of 15, Eshet Achiv Shelo Yabo Lamo. Now, Eshet Achiv Shelo Yabo Lamo means what? It means that the deceased and you, the candidate brother to do the mitzvah of Yibum, did not live in the world together, i.e., you were born after he died under those circumstances. So now there is no mitzvah of Yibum. Why is there no mitzvah of Yibum? So that's where we started the second parak. So in yesterday's daf in the second parak, so we just illustrated what exactly is going to be the example of Eshet Achiv Shelo Yabo Lamo, and what's the drasha? Why is it that if the two of you were not in the world together, so then that is going to preclude from the mitzvah of Yibum? It's a drasha. The Gemara decided the drasha in yesterday's daf. Under those circumstances, so now what? So now in the absence of the mitzvah of Yibum, so what are we left with? We're just left with Eshesach. Eshesach, shelo b'makom Yibum. Obviously, it's just an erva. Now, and as a result of that, you can't do the mitzvah of Yibum. Again, not only can you not do the mitzvah of Yibum to Eshesach if shelo yabo lama, but also to the tsara as well, to the koaif as well. Okay. Co-wife is also going to be Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olamo. So as we pointed out yesterday, that's true. But imagine now that there are going to be three brothers. We don't have to imagine. I mean, we do. But I'm saying the Mishnah yesterday brought down exactly that example, that illustration. Meaning now let's just in terms of an introduction, go back to the first Mishnah of the second parak, which we saw yesterday, which is what's the example of Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olamo. So let's say you had two brothers. One of them was married, he dies, and afterwards he's got one surviving brother and a brother to be born. And under those circumstances where you have the surviving brother, but before the surviving brother did Yibum, now you have a new brother born into the family. Okay, so Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven and Shimon coexisted in the same world together. Levi was born only after the death of Reuven. In fact, Levi was born even before Yibum occurred, before Shimon did Yibum. So under those circumstances, the Mishnah says, let's say Reuven died. We're going over the progression. Reuven died, Levi's born, Shimon does Yibum to the widow, and on top of that, Shimon also was married to another woman as well. Shimon dies, so now what's the result? The result's going to be that Levi is going to be exempt from doing the mitzvah of Yibum with the original widow, who is now widowed two times over. So he cannot do Yibum with the original widow because she is Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olamo. In addition to that, now the co-wife, because now remember, now it's the co-wife from the perspective of Shimon. The co-wife is also going to be exempt because she is Saras Erva. That's what we learned in the Mishnah yesterday. Now I admit, by the way, that all these cases get a little bit complicated. Once we know the cases, once you have the construct of the cases, it's just a lot easier to operate. Anyway, that's what we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta. That is all just but a brief introduction.
Is he not obligated, or he's not allowed?
Not allowed. Okay. Not allowed, prohibited. Okay, good. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, we are now in the Gemara in Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and we are starting here with the following. Shemes Yavim Shemesa. So we are going to be just dealing with a very simple question. It's a very simple question, but not with a simple answer. Meaning, you have someone who's a Shemar Yavam, so there is a death, and there is now a demand for a mitzvah Yibum. Now again, when I say mitzvah Yibum now, it doesn't have to be Yibum, it could be Chalitza as well. In other words, but there is an attachment between the two. That attachment from this point going forward today is going to be called a Zika. So this Zika, this attachment between the two, so what is it tantamount to? What is it analogous to? Is it marriage? The answer, of course, is no. Meaning, he can either be Miyabim or it could be Cholitzer. But is it a quasi-marriage? Okay, good. That's today's discussion. That's today's daf. Okay, the expression that we're going to be seeing again and again is Yeshika or Ain Zika. It's basically, it is a conceptual analysis of how strong this Zika bond is that exists between the Yavam and the Yavama. So according to Rav Huna, who's quoting it in the name of Rav, names are important over here. Names are always important, but names are important over here. So just to get it straight, this is Rav Huna in the name of Rav. So Shemer Yavam Shemesa. So let's say the Shemer Yavam dies. So Mutar Be'ima. So that means to say that before you did either Yibam or Chalitza, she died, Rachmanus. And so you're allowed to marry her mother. Well, you're allowed to marry her mother. Weren't you married to this woman's daughter? The answer, of course, is no. But you were bonded with this daughter's, with this woman's daughter. Okay. Well, what does that mean? It means Amakas Avrein Zika. So it must be the Rav Huna of the position that Ein Zika, that he does not look at the Zika as any kind of quasi-marriage. And so therefore, just because he had a Zika with this woman does not make them connected at all from a marriage standpoint. And therefore, if he would like to, he could marry her mother. Or for that matter, any one of her relatives. And we're just using the mother as an example. So the Gemara says, okay, rather than give me the example, just why don't you give me the rule? And then we'll figure out all the applications. And just simply saying Zika. So So the Gemara says, look, if he said Ein Zika, I would have said, look, fine, Ein Zika. But let's limit the application of Ein Zika. Meaning Ein Zika in a scenario where, let's say there are two Yavamas. Why? Because if there are two, which one are you going to do, which one are you going to do Yibam with? Well, it's your choice, meaning whichever one you want, but not both of them. So that means to say that the bond is not that strong. It's thinned out. It dissipates a little bit as it is spread out between two. But if there's only one candidate for Yibum, for the mitzvah of Yibum, so under those circumstances, maybe I would have said, even if generally I would have held Ein Zika, but if it's only one candidate, I would say, look, it's obvious now who you need to do Yibum with because there's only one candidate. And I would have said that maybe under those circumstances, Zika. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, why don't you give me the rule and just simply say that the rule is Ein Zika, and even if it's only one candidate. So the Gemara says, okay, I would have said that that would be true even if she's alive. So the Gemara says, no. The Chiddush now is that no, we want to say Ein Zika, but only post-mortem, but not while she's alive. In other words, what the Gemara is entertaining right now, it's a really strange havamina, but the Gemara is entertaining right now that even as your Shomer Yavam is alive, so the she's waiting for Yibam to occur, and I subscribe to the viewpoint of Ein Zika, the Gemara is entertaining for a moment that what you could do now is you can marry her mother. Okay. In other words, consider, you're not married to this woman, you're not even, you have no connection to her other than the fact that she's waiting for you to do Yibam. So, but if you subscribe to Ein Zika, it has no marriage status whatsoever. So in theory, you could marry her mother even while she's alive. But you know what happens when you marry your mother? It'll preclude you now from doing the mitzvah of Yibum. And this is a concept of Mishum Aser Levato Mitzvah Yivamim. Meaning what you cannot do is you cannot put yourself in a position where you are going to be blocked, excluded from the mitzvah of Yibum. This is the idea of Aser Levato Mitzvos Yavamim. So the Gemara says that's what Rav Huna wants to teach us. Rav Huna wants to teach us that on one hand Ein Zika, but on the other hand Aser Levato Mitzvos Yavamim. Which means then that the Ein Zika rule can only be put into play only when Yibam is taken out of the picture. Okay. I know there's a lot of moving parts to this Gemara over here, and I know there's a lot to think about. So again, what I'm going to recommend is that you pause. If you're here in person, by the way, we're not going to pause. But you're going to, you pause, you think about it. There's a lot to consider. Tonight, we're going to start now litigating whether or not Rav Huna is correct. We're going to look at a Mishnah. This Mishnah is coming up later in the Masechta. Yevimto Shemesa Motar Bachosa. So if your Yevama dies, you're allowed to marry your sister. Okay, your Yevama dies. What does that mean? It means that you were in a position where it was your brother's wife, your brother died, she's a widow, right? In other words, a classic Yevama. And Rachmanis, she herself passed away, you're allowed to marry her sister. Okay, now, doesn't have to be your Yevama, meaning any woman who dies, even your wife, you're allowed to marry her sister. Now remember, we said this rule from day one of the Masechta, but I'll repeat it again. Once an Erva, always an Erva, with one notable exception, and that is sisters. Outside of that, once an Erva, always an Erva. Meaning, let's say your daughter-in-law. She's your daughter-in-law. For whatever reason, she's no longer your daughter-in-law, right? Death, divorce. Nevertheless, she is your daughter-in-law. From a Erva standpoint, she will always be your daughter-in-law, once she was your daughter-in-law. So that's true by any one of the Arayas, with notable exception to sisters. Meaning you're married to a woman, her sister now is an Erva to you. When Rachmanis, if the wife dies, so then the sister becomes mutter to you. The pasuk says bechayeha. Anyway, so the Gemara is now pointing out that here the Braisa says you have a yavama. A yavama means that she's shomeres yavam. Now, are the two of you married? The answer, of course, is no. Is there a quasi marriage because there's a zika? That is exactly what we're litigating right now. And to which the Braisa says that when she dies, if she dies, Rachmanis, so then you're allowed to marry your sister. And now the diuk is really clear about achosa in beimalo. You can marry your sister, but you can't marry your mother. And of course, the notable difference is that by sisters, the Isser Erva goes away with the death of this woman, as opposed to her mother, where the Isser Erva does not go away. So the Gemara tries to argue in the other direction. No, hua din dafila bi'ima. No, the truth of the matter is that really, you can, after death, you can marry your mother as well. The Idi d'tana reisha. Ishto shemesa motar bachosa, bachosa nava bi'ima lo dahavila yisur d'raisa, taninami sefer motar bachosa. The only reason why the example that was given by sister is because of the reisha, the first part of the braisa, the first part of the Mishnah, where there it says that if your wife dies, meaning your full-fledged wife, so then you're allowed to marry your sister. There the diuk is in play. Sorry. The diuk is in play, meaning there you're not allowed to marry her, there you are allowed to marry your sister, but you're not allowed to marry your mother. So for the Seifa, even though we're only talking about a Yavama, which does not have any status of marriage whatsoever, but still we're going to keep the case the same. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now through the position of Rav Huna. Rav Huna is of the opinion, Ein Zika, which means that when you and a woman are bonded by Zika, does it have any marriage status whatsoever? And Rav Huna's answer is emphatic. No. It has no marriage status whatsoever. Look at the Rashi over here, Ein Zika. I know I could have read this Rashi earlier, but Ein Zika, I just want to look at Rashi's formulation of this position. Ein Zika, Zika, Yivimto, Shemesa, Lo, Alima, it's not strong enough, let me have a Karusa, that the two of you are going to be married. Now, he uses the word Erisin over here, which is the first stage of marriage, but totally understandable, perfectly understandable why he uses Erisin. Because in the two stages of marriage, of Erisin and Nisuin, if we're going to contemplate, which we are right now, if we're going to contemplate that Zika has any kind of marriage status, obviously I would slot it in with Erisin. I wouldn't slot it in with Nisuin. Nisuin is when the husband and wife are intimate with one another. Over here, where the intimacy is obviously the mitzvah of Yibum. So over here, if we are contemplating that Zika has any kind of marriage status, obviously we would make it more like Erisin more than anything else. Rashi writes, Lehei aser imo olav mishum chamosa. In other words, and if the Zika had any kind of marriage status to it, so then obviously this woman's mother would be your quasi-mother-in-law, which means you obviously wouldn't be allowed to marry her. Rav Huna's of the position that lo alima, that the Zika does not have any marriage status to it whatsoever, and therefore, if all you had was a Zika with a woman and Rachmanis she died, so then you are in fact allowed to marry any one of her relatives. Rav Yehuda Amar, and on the other side of this machlokas, we have Rav Yehuda. And he says, Shemar Yisavim Shemes Asur Be'ima, Kasavar Yeshika. So Rav Yehuda is of the position Yeshika, which means that if you and a woman were bonded through Zika, and then Rachmanis she died, so then you are not allowed to marry her mother, for that matter, any family member. You are, of course, allowed to marry her sister, but again, even if you were fully-fledged married to a woman and she dies, you're allowed to marry her sister. But outside of that, you're not allowed to marry any one of her relatives because Rav Yehuda is of the position, Yesh Zika. Now this concept, this idea of Yesh Zika, now is he saying this on a Daraisa level? hard to suggest. It's hard. It's very difficult. Because the Zika just tells me that there is a mitzvah to do. And the mitzvah means that you potentially could be married to her. But to say that on a deraisa level, the two of you are quasi-married, consider that you don't have to marry her, meaning you can do chalitza, but that in of itself is not, I don't know if that argument in of itself is going to tell me that it's going to inform me that it's not deraisa. Because what we could view chalitza as is like a quasi-divorce. So in other words, the zika could be viewed as a quasi-marriage, and the chalitza could be viewed as a quasi-divorce. Okay, but still, the position of yesh zika most probably is operating on some rabbinic level, a non-adoraisa level. Regardless, if you maintain yesh zika, that means that you and her having this relationship of being bonded together through zika. So now, according to Rav Yehuda, it's a quasi-marriage. So the Gemara says velema lacha kedivrei amar yesh zika. So the Gemara says again, don't give me the application. Give me the rule. So the Gemara says, Yahava Amar Hachi Hava Amina Hani Mila Bechat. Yeah, I would have thought. Yeah, Yeh Zika when there is only one Yavama. Ava Betray Ein Zika. Vahaki Pligi Betray Pligi. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. There is a Machlokas, meaning, well, we didn't know this yet, but coming up in the Masechta, the Tanaim argue this issue of whether Yeh Zika or Ein Zika. Meaning Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda right now in our Gemara are really just taking sides on a Machlokas Tanaim. We haven't seen the machlokas yet. We will see the machlokas together. Anyway, so the Gemara says that machlokas amongst the Tanaim is talking about even when there are two yavamas. So the Gemara says, Ela I amar hachi, as we're now on the top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, hava min mechayim. I would have said, yeah, yesh zika. You know when yesh zika? When she's alive. Avalachemisa, pakale zika. So, but if the woman dies, so then there's no longer a zika. Meaning the zika is a quasi-marriage status. This is a havamina. The zika is a quasi-marriage status only while this woman is alive. But if Rachmanis, this woman dies, so then the zika just simply goes away, and then you would be allowed to marry any one of her relatives. Kamash malan de zika bechti lo paka. So the Gemara says, so it's teaching us that the shita of Rav Yehuda is that the zika in of itself doesn't just simply go away. Meaning once you have a zika with this woman, that is a quasi-marriage to this woman. And even if Rachmanis, this woman, were to die, that zika is going to be treated like the two of you were quasi-married. As a result of that, you're not allowed to marry any one of her relatives, even after this woman dies. Okay.
But by the fact that the Torah says you have to do chalitza, it doesn't that mean that it's a zika? How could Rav Huna say that the Torah wouldn't mandate a chalitza?
Zika certainly means that you have to do something. Zika requires you to either do yibam or chalitza. That part's clear. What is open for a discussion right now, what is on the table, is that is Zika in of itself considered like a quasi-marriage? Yeah. So for example, as this, I'm just illustrating what the Gemara is litigating. So for example, you have a Zika with this woman, and Rechmana, she died. Before you did Dibam, before you did Chalitza. Now, were you married? That's the question on the table.
Are you an availist?
That's a different issue.
And if you hold Yeshika, so Mamar doesn't add anything then?
Gemara's next point.
Okay.
coming up. Okay. We're what's called? One stop ahead. Okay. Lema Misayelai. Here we begin now. No, we don't begin. The Gemara now is just going to use the Mishnah. We just quoted this Mishnah moments earlier. We're going to use this Mishnah now to bring a support for Rav Yehuda. So your Yavama dies and you're allowed to marry your sister. And again, the deal seems to be pretty clear. You're allowed to marry your sister, but you're not allowed to marry her mother. So who adin dafila b'ima? Now the Gemara says, no, you're also not allowed to marry her mother. So the Gemara says the only reason why the Mishnah gave that particular example is because of the Reisha. Again, in the Reisha, you were married to a woman. You're married to a woman, she dies. You are allowed to marry your sister. You're not allowed to marry your mother. That's an Isra da Oraisa. An Isser Heter da Oraisa. So that's why the Mishnah in the Reisha talked about sister. But the truth of the matter is, as far as the Sefer is concerned, if you only had a Zika to a woman, so that Zika now is a quasi-marriage, and there you're not allowed to marry any of her relatives, right? You're allowed to marry your sister because, again, even if you were married to this woman and she dies, you're allowed to marry your sister. But in the case of a Yavama, where you only had a Zika with a woman, so there you are allowed to marry your sister, but you're not allowed to marry any one of her relatives because of Yeshika. Okay. Where are we right now? in a major machlokus between the Amoraim, and truth is amongst the Tanaim as well. We just haven't seen the Tanaim yet as to whether or not Ein Zika or Yesh Zika. Mesiv Rav Huna Bar Chiya, we're going to go back to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, again, the case in our Mishnah, there are three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Levi was not born yet. What happens is that Reuven dies. Shimon now is looking at his sister-in-law for Yibum. In other words, there's a Zika right now. Then what happens is that Levi's born. Then Shimon does Yibum. And then Shimon dies. Now, in the event that Shimon dies, what do we learn in our Mishnah? So now, both wives are going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum because one is a Shesachiv Shalaya Ba'olamo and the other one because of a Tzara. That's what we saw in our Mishnah. Then the Mishnah gave us another scenario, not another scenario, but we changed the variable. Which variable did we change? Shimon did Mimer with Ashes Ruvain. Now again, we saw this before. Well, let's say it again. What's Mimer? Mimer is a rabbinic institution in which the mitzvah of Yibum is really simple in that in the event that the brother dies, so you do the mitzvah of Yibum. What is the mitzvah of Yibum? You're intimate with her. You have relations with her. That's the mitzvah of Yibum, Bia. And the sixth parak, we're going to be discussing this in graphic detail. Okay. And that's the mitzvah. The Chachamim said basically, let's shape this a little bit more like a typical marriage. What is a typical marriage? A typical marriage consists of two parts. Erusin followed then by Nisuin. The Nisuin is the intimacy. The Erusin is the, what we call betrothal. Engagement is not a good word, is not a good definition word. Engagement just simply means we're going to get married. Erusin is marriage. It just happens to be the first stage of marriage. So what the Chachamim did is they added a Erusin type step in the Yibum process. It's called Mimer. We're going to be discussing it again and again throughout the Masechta. So over here in our Mishnah, the Mishnah says, now what if Shimon did Mimer? Now what is Mimer? So Mimer is Zika plus. Okay? I know my terminology, but if you're following me, so it's like Zika plus a little bit more. Okay, now, Asaba Mimer Umeis. So now he did Mimer with her, and then Shimon dies. So Shnei Choletzos V'lo Mesiyah Bemes. So now, as far as the second wife is concerned, so she could do Chalitza, but she cannot do Yibum. Now, Taima David by Mimer. So now the Gemara is noting. So he did Mimer. So that added to the Zika. So Halo Ava by Mimer. So it's now clear in the Mishnah. David, this is your point. It's now clear in the Mishnah that absent of the Mimer, so what was the Zika? Nothing. So Shnei Anami Yevumim Yavme. So that means to say now that in the absence of Mimer, so for the second wife now, so the second wife, you can either do either Yibum or Chalitza. Now, so the Gemara says, now let's consider. If Zika is a thing, now that thing is a terrible word. If Zika has some sort of marriage quality to it, so what does that mean? It means that Shimon, because he had a Zika with this woman, was quasi-married to this woman. And now the co-wife of that woman is a Tsaras Zikas Eishes Achiv Shalaya Ba'olamo. I know that's a mouthful, but if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. That Zika that Shimon had with the widow, if in fact you're viewing it as a quasi-marriage, it now means that Shimon is quasi-married to this woman. And his co-wife now is going to be a co-wife of said woman. And therefore, both of them should be off the table for the mitzvah of Yibum. That is the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, no. The diuk in the Mishnah is wonderful, but don't make the diuk. The truth of the matter is the halacha would be the same even if he had not done Mimer. The Zika in of itself would have created some sort of quasi-marriage. And the only reason why the Mishnah wanted to introduce Mimer as part of the discussion is because there is a Shita Beis Shammai. And what we would like to do is reject the Shita of Beis Shammai. So our Mishnah is using an opportunity to reject the Shita of Beis Shammai. What is the Shita of Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai is of the position that Mimer creates bona fide marriage. Okay? The Shita of Beis Shammai is interesting. It definitely requires a lot more thought. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that when a Yavam does Mimer to the Yavama, even though that Mimer is a rabbinically legislated entity, it creates Nisuin Gemurin. It becomes now a bona fide marriage. How exactly does that work for Beis Shammai? That requires a lot of thought. But we don't subscribe to the Shita Beis Shammai. Our Mishnah just wants to make it clear we don't subscribe to the Shita Beis Shammai. Because the Amish is telling us that if Maimer is done, if Shimon did Maimer to that woman, so then, what if you were Beis Shammai? What would be the case, what would be the case for Beis Shammai? So once he does Maimer to that woman and then he dies, they are full-fledged married, according to the Shita Beis Shammai. And so when he dies, he's now leaving two full-fledged wives, one being a erva and the other one being a tzaris erva. And that would then mean that you wouldn't have to do yibum at all. Not even to the shnia, not even to the second wife. Our Mishnah wants to teach us, we don't pass on like Beis Shammai. The Maimer did not make them full-fledged husband and wife. And as a result of that, the shnia is now the co-wife, but if you will, and again, I know it's a lot to think about, a quasi co-wife. And so therefore you still have to address her and you still have to do chalitza. Okay. Eisvei Abaye. So, again, let's reset what is on the table for our discussion. It's one topic for today. Ein zika or yesh zika? According to the shita of Rav Huna Merav, ein zika. According to Rav Yehuda, I was about to say Amar Shmuel. Okay. That was a spoiler. But according to Rav Yehuda, yesh zika. And again, how does that have application? So if a man and a woman had a relationship of zika, i.e., his brother died, the widow is now waiting for the mitzvah of yibum. He is now mizukekes to that woman, or she's mizukekes to him. Right? They have a zika. They're bonded one to another for the mitzvah of yibum or chalitza. And then Rachmana, she dies. So were they at all married? That's the question. Of yesh zika or ein zika. Yesh zika says that they were somewhat married, and ein zika says they were not married at all. Lamaisa, lamai nafkamina, can he marry any one of her relatives? So if I subscribe to ein zika, the answer would be yes. If I subscribe to yesh zika, the answer would be no. That is what's on the table for discussion and litigation, and the Gemara now is going to litigate further. For the almost the remainder of today's daf, we're going to litigate this very question. Eisvei Abaye, let's consider now the following. We're going to see this in tomorrow's daf as well. Shnei achim ba'olam echad. So you have two brothers in one world. What is the other option? Are there two different worlds? It just simply means they live together in the world. Umeis echad mehem, and one of them dies. Below vlad, without a child, va'amar sheni hazel lasos maimer biyavimta v'lo hispik lasos ba'maimer ashno lo ach. And what happens is that the brother is ready to do Maimer, but before he did Maimer, another brother is born. Levi's born into the family. So the Umeis Arishona, and I'm sorry, Umeis. And then Shimon dies. Shimon is brother number two. Arishona Yotza Mishumesh Asachiv Shalom Yabalamo. So as far as the original widow, so she is falling under the category of Esh Asachiv Shalom Yabalamo. She, relative to Levi, is the widow of Reuven. And Reuven and Levi were never in the world together. Good. Ushnia. Now, as far as the second widow is concerned, you either do chalitza or yibum. Perfect. So if it clicks right now, it's going to click perfectly. So from this Mishnah, it seems pretty clear. There's no ambiguity over here. It seems pretty clear that there's no such thing as a zika. Meaning Zika does not create any kind of marriage status whatsoever. Because you're looking now at the co-wife of a woman is prohibited to you. Right? Meaning via Zika. So the Gemara says, Iyamar Yezika Havile Tar Seishet Sachiv Shalaya Balama Bezika. So the Gemara says, okay, this Mishnah unequivocally is of the position of Ein Zika. So the Gemara says, congratulations. You found a Mishnah that's of the opinion of Ein Zika. So as we already discussed earlier this morning, but now here it's going to play out. It's not just a machlokas amongst the Amoraim, it's a machlokas amongst the Tanaim as well. So if I have a Mishnah that sides with one viewpoint, good. I have a Mishnah that sides with one viewpoint. It's a machlokas amongst the Tanaim. So money, Rebbe Meir, he, Damarin, Zika. So the Gemara says, this Mishnah belongs to the Shita Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir holds Ein Zika. Umisir, Lele Rebbe Meir, Ein Zika, Vatanan. So the Gemara says, really? Rebbe Meir holds Ein Zika? Let's consider the following Mishnah. Now this Mishnah we already heard earlier in the Masechta, but we're going to hear it again and again. And again, once you're used to the case, it's just easy. You just gotta have the construct of this case really, really, really well. Arba achim shnayim mehem nisum shtei achayos umesu hanisuyin haachayos hari elu chotzos velo misyamos. You have four brothers and you have two sisters. Two of the brothers married two of the sisters. Those two brothers who were married to the two sisters died. now leaving these two sisters for the mitzvah of Yibum for the two surviving brothers. So can each of the brothers do the mitzvah of Yibum? Now the easiest answer would be yes. Why not? Why not? Either sisters to one another. Okay, so what? So what? There were sisters who were married to two different brothers. So you would be now possible for each of the brothers to do the mitzvah of Yibum with one of the widows. Now, but as Rav Chaim points out, but there's a zika between the two. So what the Mishnah tells us is cholzos v'lo misyamos. So they could do chalitza, but they can't do Yibum. Now, isa kedachat safra marrying zika. Now, we're assuming, by the way, that this Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, even though the words Rav Meir are not found in the Mishnah. I'm supposing it's a Stam Mishnah, and therefore it's going like Rav Meir. Now, if I hold Ein Zika, which is what the Gemara says, is Rav Meir Shita. So, Hani Mitrei Batikaskin, Hali Yabim Chada, Vahali Yabim Chada. So the Gemara says, so I got a great solution. And that is, why don't we have each of the surviving brothers do Yibam with one of the widows? It's coming from two different brothers. So, and the only thing impeding right now, seemingly, is Zika. That's the only impediment. But if Rameir holds Ein Zika, that's not an impediment. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, Olam Ein Zika. I'm going to go forward. I apologize. And I'm going to stay with you after. And we're going to go after. I'll add another sentence. The Zika would be an impediment because each one of them now is a sister of a woman who has a Zika with you. Okay. You're right. Okay, so la'olam ein zika. Rameir is of the position of ein zika. Mishum dekasav rasa levatal mitzvos yivamim. So the Gemara says that that he's of the position also levatal mitzvos yivamim. That really no ein zika. But you know what? There's a separate concern. Now we already said this earlier this morning. We get to hear it again, and that is the consideration of you can't put yourself in a position that would exclude you from doing the mitzvah of yibam. Now, how are we excluding ourselves from the position of Yibum? Remember, there were two sisters, both of them widows, from two different brothers, and now we have two surviving brothers. So each one of them could do Yibum. How are we excluding, how are we precluding the mitzvah of Yibum? Gemara says, "D'dilma adamayabim chad ma'is idach, v'kabatalta mitzvahs yivamim." So the Gemara says something amazing. I'd even go so far as to say wild. And that is that what would happen now if, let's say, one of the surviving brothers did Yibum, and then the other brother dies? Then what's going to happen is that for that next widow, for that second widow, you can't do anything with her right now. Why? Because you already married her sister. And now she is going to be precluded from the mitzvah of Yibum. Now, and she'll be free to go. And you can't put yourself in that position. Now, mind you, over here, the only way we're going to get to this position is only if one of the surviving brothers were to die. Generally speaking, that's not a concern. Ein choshesh in lamisa. Tosos is bothered by this very question. Tosos tries to explain why in general we're not worried about death, and over here we're worried about death, and we're so worried about death that we're going to block the mitzvah of Yibum to be done because maybe one of the brothers are going to die. Okay, it is, I'm admitting, it's a difficult Gemara. But nevertheless,
two brothers can marry two sisters.
A hundred percent. Right. But over here now, because each one of them has a Yibum opportunity, we don't want to put ourselves in any kind of position where we're not going to be able to effectuate the Yibum.
Right, but in theory, two brothers marrying two sisters would also...
Okay, right. But...
So if they married two sisters and then one of them died, you still have another
Yibum. I tell you what, I don't want to, no if right now. let's just deal with the case in hand right now because it is complicated enough. We have enough to work with. So the Gemara says v'kabalta mitzvos yivamim v'i ein zika tibatel. So the Gemara says, well, I got news for you. If there's no zika, who cares? So daharam and gamliel amar ein zika umutel v'atam mitzvos yivamim. Right now the Gemara thinks that there's a corollary. There is some correlation between ein zika and mutel v'atam mitzvos yivamim. What the Gemara is going to realize in just a moment is that they don't necessarily correlate. But right now, the Gemara thinks that there's a correlation. And I'll tell you why the Gemara thinks there's a correlation, because we know Rebbe Gamliel is certainly of the position that there's a correlation. How do I know that? Rebbe Gamliel deals with the following case. The Gemara today is putting a lot out in front of us. The good news about today's daf is that there's really only one issue. It's just now, in terms of litigating this one issue, there are so many cases to take into consideration. Here, we're going to be throwing out another case. The Gemara is throwing out another case at us. This is the Rami Gamliel scenario. The Rami Gamliel scenario is the following. It's not just Rami Gamliel, but it just happens to be that he has a very strong opinion over here. The case is that two brothers are married to two sisters, and in this case over here, one of the sisters is a katana. And she was married off either by her brother or by her mother. Okay. So now what happens is that the brother married to the older woman, the gedola, so he died. So now the sister who is an adult is now falls for the mitzvah of Yibum. Now consider from the perspective of the surviving brother. What a conundrum. He right now is rabbinically married to his current wife, who's a katana, and he now has a zika, a bona fide zika, to the widow of his brother. Oh, so what is he going to do? Now the Tanakhama, the Gemara over here is just interested in Rami Gamliel right now, but the Tanakhama is of the position that here's what we're going to do. And I know this does not seem like a very, it doesn't seem like it would work emotionally, but according to the Tanakhama, what we do is that we turn to his current wife and say, "You do me in." Okay. In other words, you have the right. Yeah, right. You have the right of refusal. You have the ability to annul the marriage. That's what you're going to do. And then once that happens, so that removes the marriage altogether, allowing him, affording him the opportunity to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Good. That's the Tanakhama. And again, take emotion out of it and just deal with it from a logistic, halachic standpoint. Makes perfect sense.
He could give her again?
No, he can't give her again.
That's a miyun.
No. In other words, we right now want miyun. Because miyun's going to annul the marriage. Gerushin will not annul the marriage. Gerushin will just simply terminate the marriage. But in other words, but then he was married to her.
But that's for a sister, that's okay.
Yeah, but then she's out of
In other words, the sister is only allowed after death, not after divorce. Right. Okay. So from a halachic standpoint, it makes all the sense in the world. It's just that, obviously, that means basically, your current marriage right now, that you terminate. Okay. Because the Yibum is better. But again, we say better, we mean halachically it's better. And it makes perfect sense. Rami Gamliel says, no, let's not take that approach. Rami Gamliel, Omer, Miana, Miana. So Rami Gamliel says, look, if she wants to do Miyan, that's fine. In other words, if she'd like to elect to do so, why not? However, the Imlo Miana, but if she does not want to do Miyan, the current wife, so Tamti Machitag Dilvatetza Lazu, Mishumachus Isha. And so then what you're going to do is you'll remain married to your Katana wife. Obviously, the prognosis is very clear. She's going to grow up. Thank you. All right. I'm not a good diagnostician, but you know what I mean? But certain things I could predict.
Right.
I'm on the spot with this one. She is going to grow up. And then when she grows up, and then he's intimate with her as an adult, the marriage now upgrades from being a derabbanan to a daraisa. And now as far as the Yavama is concerned, she's free. Because now she's achos isha. She's a sister of his wife.
But she's in limbo until she's
a... Ah, now, okay. So David hit it right on the head. Meaning that up until the point where the marriage is a bona fide marriage, so now what? So what was her status at that point in time? So she had a Zika at that point in time. Well, what do I subscribe to? Ain't Zika or Yeshika? Rami Gamliel is clearly of the position ain't Zika. Because if he held Yeshika, his current wife right now is going to be, via Zika, his Acho Zikukaso. And that's untenable. Which is probably, by the way, I'm putting this in parentheses, if you follow. It's probably why the Tanakhama is of the position that we are going to legislate Mian. Okay, but close parentheses.
But there's...
Wait, again, wait, just let's play this out. According now to Rami Gamliel, so now what we're going to say is the following. Ein Zika, meaning it has his current relationship now to his sister-in-law, right now is just that. In other words, it's just she's waiting for Yibum and or Chalitza. Not and. Yibum or Chalitza. And it just happens to be right now currently that Ein Zika tells us that just because there is a bond, but it has no marriage status to it whatsoever. And that's why, according to Rami Gamliel, what we can do is we can wait now till his current wife becomes an adult, upgrade that marriage from a Darabana to a Daraisa, and now just simply release his sister-in-law to go free in doing so. Good. Now the Gemara says, now according to Rami Gamliel, No. She's free. She's achos ishta. She's an erva to him. Okay, now, according to Rami Gamliel, are we not pushing off the mitzvah of Yibum? So according to Rami Gamliel, mutter levato mitzvahs yevamim. That's okay. He's not bothered by that. So you see what just happened in the Gemara? The Gemara found Rabbi Gamliel who correlates ein zika to mutter levato mitzvahs yibum. Okay. So now in the Gemara's mind, the two issues correlate one with another. So I'm related to Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara is now assuming it has to be the same for Rabbi Meir as well. So I'm related to Rabbi Gamliel, to Rabbi Meir, karamishlei. So the Gemara says no. In other words, there's Rabbi Gamliel, there's Rabbi Meir. And although they agree about Ein Zika, but they disagree about whether or not there's a corollary between Ein Zika and Aser or Mutter Levato Mitzvah Yevamim. Hachi Kamrin and Rabbi Meir, Chai Shafila Lesfeika. As far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, so Rabbi Meir is worried about a suffix. And because there's a potential of loss of the mitzvah of Yibum, that's a consideration. And Rabbi Gamliel afilu vada lo chayish. Dil mamanda lo chayish afilu vada lo chayish. Amanda de chayish afilu sveka chayish. And the Gemara says, look, there's no necessary correlation between the two. As far as Rabbi Gamliel is concerned, he allows for bitul yibum. And even if I know for sure I'm going to be mevatel yibum, in the Rabbi Gamliel case, there's no question. You are sidestepping yibum. You are ignoring yibum, but you're allowed to, according to Rabbi Gamliel. Because you're currently married to a sister. The marriage is currently only a derabanan. Yeah, but wait, because what we can do is that we can upgrade it to a daraisa, and let's do that. You're being mevatel mitzvah yibum. Rabbi Gamliel says, that's fine. I subscribe that you can be mevatel mitzvah yibum. Ma she'ein kein, according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir's of the position that you're not allowed to be mevatel mitzvah yibum. He holds ein zika. Yeah, correct. He holds ein zika, but at the same time, asur levatel mitzvah yibum. Okay. Even, in other words, that's exactly the Gemara's point. Even though it's a suffix, he's still worried about bitul yibum.
But can he cure just by doing chalitza?
No.
Isn't that part of the mitzvah?
No.
He can't do chalitza?
No.
Why not?
Again, come to me later. We'll litigate it later. We gotta finish up over here. So for sure, I will spend time with you after. Amalei Abai L'Rav Yosef Had Rav Yehuda D'Shmuel Hi. Now. We started off our daf today with a machlokas amarayim between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Rav Huna's of the position of Ein Zika. Rav Yehuda's of the position Yesh Zika. Now, Rav Huna, we know, said in the name of Rav. That part was clear. Rav Yehuda, who's he quoting? Well, as we've gone over numerous times throughout Shas, Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of a number of amarayim. So he started off as a Talmud of Rav, and then he moved over to becoming a Talmud of Shmuel. Okay. So, and back and forth, he went over the shitas of both of these amoraim, right? First generation amoraim. When Rav Yehuda had his position of Yesh Zika, was he quoting Rav or was he quoting Shmuel? Now the answer is kind of obvious because we already know that Rav Huna is quoting Rav as saying Ein Zika. So okay, by process of elimination, so what do we have left? So Rav Yehuda is probably quoting Shmuel. And here in this particular case, the obvious answer is the correct answer. Okay, that's good. However, the Gemara is just for a moment going to entertain, maybe he's quoting Rav. So, Amalei Abai L'Rav Yosef Had Rav Yehuda D'Shmuel Hi. So the Gemara says that Rav Yehuda is quoting Shmuel. How do I know he's quoting Shmuel? That none. Because we have the following Mishnah. Here we are learning a Mishnah. It's coming up later in the Masechta. Top of the Amud of Amud Beis. Shomeres Yavam Shekidah Shachiv Esachoso. So let's say you're Shomeres Yavam. And what happens now is that your brother did Kiddushin to her sister.
Not married yet.
Yeah, right?
She was Shomeres Yavam to both of them.
Well, she was the Shomeres Yavam to both of them. But your brother now did Kiddushin to her sister. Okay, that's confusing. It's not confusing, meaning it should, but just got to have the case down in your head. So Mishum Rav Yehuda Ben Bezerah Amar Omrim Lo Hamtei Machiaseh Achicha Maisa. So in the name Rav Yehuda Ben Bezerah, they say to him as follows. Hey, do us a favor. You're going to wait until your brother does a Maisa. In other words, your brother now has can either do Mitzvah of Yibam or the Mitzvah of Chalitza, one of the two. So what you're going to do is you're going to wait because right now, currently, what is your current Arusa to you? Obviously, she's your Arusa, but she's also the sister of your Zekuka. She's Acha Zekuka So. So what we want to do is we want to get rid of it. How do you get rid of it? By having your brother do either the Mitzvah of Yibam or Chalitza. That's going to remove the Zika. And now go ahead and marry your wife. Okay, good. So Hamtem Ashiyaseh Chicha Maisa. V'Amr Shmuel Halacha K'Rav Yehuda Ben Besera. And Shmuel says that the Halacha is like Rav Yehuda Ben Besera. Okay, so what are we hearing together? What we're hearing together is Rav Yehuda Ben Besera is clearly of the position Yeshika. And we're also hearing together that Shmuel sides subscribe to that viewpoint. And so now what all the Gemara is doing is just connecting one more dot. So we know where Rav Yehuda Ben Becerra's position is on Yeshika, i.e. Yeshika. We know what Shmuel's position is, i.e. Yeshika. And now, all we're doing now is saying that when Rav Yehuda said it, Rav Yehuda was probably quoting Shmuel. Okay, great. It's just, it's a connected dot. So, v'amr Shmuel, lachik Rav Yehuda Ben Becerra. Amr lei, v'amr Shmuel, lachik Rav Yehuda Ben Becerra. Amr lei, di'i Rav Mai. So, kasha d'rava d'rav. So the Gemara says, okay, what was your alternative? Your alternative is that Rav Yehuda was quoting Rav? Well, that can't be, because we know Rav Huna quoted Rav, and Rav Huna was of the position of Ein Zika. And now what do you want to tell me? That when Rav Yehuda said it, he said in the name of Rav, and he's holding Yesh Zika, and that puts Rav against Rav. So the Gemara says, Dilma, Amarai Ninuva, Liba de Rav. Well, the Gemara says, well, sometimes communications get crossed, and sometimes there is a disagreement amongst the students in terms of what the Rebbe said. So the Gemara says, I know, that's true, but over here, isn't the puzzle just so much easier to fit in with what the way we have it? It makes so much more sense to suggest that when Rav Yehuda said it, he was quoting Shmuel. And when Rav Huna said it, we know he was quoting Rav. And it just makes much more sense because now everyone fits into their respective position. And we don't have to come out to say that it's a machlokus of amongst the Amoraim in terms of what Rav said. Okay. So the Gemara says that we went to Rav Zvid and he said we have it as a Mesorah. And Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. He said he has it as part of his tradition. Shemar Siyavim, Shemesa, Asur Be'ima. The Shemar Siyavim who dies, you're not allowed to marry your mother. Amar Kasavi Yeshika, because he's of the position of Yeshika. V'azur Shmuel Tamei, Damar Shmuel Halach, Rav Yehuda Ben Beseira. And we also know that Rav Yehuda is of the position that he subscribes to the Shita of, that Shmuel subscribes to the position of Rav Yehuda Ben Beseira. So, what does Shmuel hold? It's clear. It is so clear. Shmuel's of the position, Yesh Zika. Now, the truth of the matter is, the Gemara is bothered because how many times does he need to teach us this? Two times. He once tells us that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda Ben Becerra, clearly Yesh Zika. He also tells us the Yesh Zika. Well, how many times does he have to say it? Utzricha, he needs to say it twice. Why di yashmin Yesh Zika? Because of all he said was Yesh Zika. Hava amina b'chayrav al betray lo. I would have thought that would be true by one, but not by two. Kamash, meaning if there were two Yavamas, maybe you wouldn't subscribe to Yesh Zika. And again, I said this earlier, but just to really think about it, conceptualize it. There's logic to this position that by two Yavamas there wouldn't be a Zika because you can elect which one to do it with. It's spread out. The Zika, so to say, is thinned out over two. And so therefore, With this dilution of Zika, so now maybe the bond is not going to be as strong where the Zika is going to be viewed as a quasi-marriage. But if there's only one candidate, so then you know who the candidate is. And so therefore the Zika is going to substitute for like a quasi-marriage. So what Shmuel wants to tell us is that even by two, yeh Zika. And if I would have only had the sheet of Rav Yehuda Ben Becerra, that would be true if they're alive. But maybe we would have entertained the idea that Zika is only a thing only while the Yavama is alive. But if Rachmanis, the Yavama dies, maybe the Zika just dissipates. So Kamashman de Zika Bichti Lo Paka, and that's what he wants to teach us by illustrating Yesh Zika in the case of your Zikuka's mother, is that even if Rachmanis the Shemeres Yavam dies, that Zika now is going to be a quasi marriage to the extent in which you can't even marry your late Zikuka's mother. Okay, so Shmuel's of the position of Yesh Zika. Okay, Adkan, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we start with the new Mishnah. But let's recap today. Today is an unbelievably interesting daf, but admittedly, it's complicated. But at its core, however, there's really one question that came up in today's daf. And that is that if the relationship between you and a woman is a Zika relationship, your brother died, childless, leaving the widow for the mitzvah of Yibum, and right now you are bonded to her through Zika, is that a quasi-marriage? That's the question. And the Shita of Rav Huna quoting Rav, no, ain't Zika. In other words, you have a mitzvah to perform. It's just that right now, currently, that zika does not translate to any type of marriage status. And if Rachmanis she dies, you can marry a relative of hers. You can marry your mother. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda is of the position, and as per the Gemara's conclusion, it's b'shem Shmuel, who and that follows the shita of Yehuda ben Becerra, and that is yesh zika. Yesh zika informs us that the zika now is going to be a quasi marriage. The Chachamim treated it as if they were married on a certain level, which means that even though you and her only have a zika to one another, that's going to be treated as a quasi marriage with numerous applications of yesh zika. Meaning the simplest one would be in the event that she died. This is the first application. In the event that she died, the Yavama died, and you didn't do anything, you didn't do Yibam, you didn't do Chalitza, but still, that Zika tells us now that you are quasi-married to her. You can't marry any of her relatives, you can't marry her mother. Now, you are allowed to marry her sister, but the truth of the matter is, even if it was a bona fide wife, and she died, you're allowed to marry her sister. But outside of that, you can't marry any of her relatives, because the Zika is going to be treated like a full-fledged marriage. That is the one question that we dealt with over the course of today's daf. And then the entire daf was just basically, let's see a series of mishnayos and brisos, which would indicate one way or another. When all said and done, even as we found a mishnah right in the middle of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, we found a mishnah that clearly was of the position of Ein Zika. So nevertheless, the Gemara points out it's a machlokas tanayim. It's not just a machlokas amarayim. So congratulations for finding a mishnah that says Ein Zika. Good. Reb Meir is of the position of Ein Zika. That Mishnah just simply follows the sheet of Reb Meir. One more thing just for the review of today's daf is that even if I hold Ein Zika, there's one more consideration, and that is that even if there's no Zika, but can we put ourselves in a position that would exclude ourselves from the mitzvah of Yibum? That's the question of Aser or Mutta Levato Mitzvah Yivamim. That too turns into a machlokas. And as the Gemara pointed out, at the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, that's a machlokas hatanayim. So even if I subscribe to Ein Zika, Rav Ben Gamliel holds Ein Zika, Rav Meir holds Ein Zika, but still, even within that shita, they split on the issue of, can we put ourselves in a position which will exclude from the mitzvah of Yibum? Rav Ben Gamliel said yes, and Rav Meir says no.